I will make all my mountains into roads. My ways shall be put on high. That's our scripture for today, little children, from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 11 of the Word Green Version from 2003. And continuing our study of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, chapter 5, we're in paragraph 5. My primary function, as I see it, my vision being not free of accusation, is to record moments before I forget them. It may not be logical, and I may come back and rewrite the article later. So I ask you to please be patient with me. Mr. Fotheringham gives 62 years to Menes of Egypt as from Africanus, a number that agrees too with the rule of Belus. See Old Latin Chronicle in Scaliger's edition of the Chronicon of Eusebius, as described above. And Mr. Jackson gives the rule of Thoth, son of Mizraim. Compare that with Athothis, Egypt's successor to Menes, as that of the first king of the Sinic or Sothic cycle or circle. He's saying that he began to rule in Egypt about 553 years after the deluge. Chronological Antiquities, page 237. That's Jackson's book. The equation is 3282 minus 553 equals 2729. Since, and by the way, that's a genealogical date from our chronology, in other words, since this is alleged to have been after the dispersion of the people, which we refer to as the confusion of languages. That is, the dispersion is the confusion of languages, or the Tower of Babel. Nimrod's time nears 2729 BCE. The beginning of Thoth in 2729. Okay. Nimrod's time nears 2729 BCE, as with the tower associated to Nimrod. 2729 is 45 years after the eclipse of Nimrod, and the Tower of Babel was built 43 years in Jubilees chapter 10 verse 21. The same book by Fotheringham has 62 years more, according to Africanus, than Eusebius, for reigns combined of the first Egyptian kings Menes and Athothis. 62 plus 57 minus 30 plus 27. And I feel it would be a good thing to show that calculation, or to show the numbers used in that. I'm going to find the Egyptian chronology. Here it is. Okay. So Dynasty 1. Yeah, 62 plus 57, according to Africanus, and 30 plus 27, according to Eusebius. In Fotheringham's book on page 118 there, that's where those numbers came from. Okay. So, we should demonstrate that. 62 plus 57, the brackets are there used for convenience in the first case, but for the second case we need the brackets. Subtracting 30 plus 27 from those first two, and we get 62 years. In other words, the first two just added up to 62 plus 57, or 119 years for the first two. Second two add up to 57. And the difference is 62 years between Africanus and Eusebius. Now, Wikipedia's Sothic cycle used to say, in the version that I had, and I've gone back and got the old version of it, in the article called Sothic Cycle, the first dynasty of Egypt did not begin before 3100 BC. And it is conventional to begin Egypt with Menes, Narmer. Now, I'm saying that the part that they said was about the first dynasty dating to sometime after 3100. And then I'm saying that it is conventional to begin Egypt with Menes or Narmer. Manetho's list contains too many years worth of kings for them all to fit in the time before Egypt's last king. We saw that when we looked at the summary of the total years from Africanus and Eusebius that we found on that drawing, on that illustration that we looked at recently. I'm thinking it was yesterday we looked at that. But whenever it was, we saw the totals were far too many, more like double the number of years for the total number of years of the pharaohs, the ruling of the pharaohs. So there was a lot of extra time in there. Okay. And if we, you know, if wherever we begin the first dynasty, it all has to end before 343, because that's the end of the Egyptian kingship. So do all such lists want for perfection, that is, all the versions of Manetho? We have already seen how Manetho's fourth dynasty corresponds to Joseph in 1923 BCE from calculations beginning 2774 BCE with the eclipse of Nimrod. And the fact is, let's look up this number. Let's see. To see where we had it. There it is, yeah. So we did a calculation earlier in paragraph 4-6. 2774 minus 43 minus 808 minus, what was I? That should say equals. I just noticed there's a typo there. Should it equals 1923? Okay. I never noticed that. So that I can fix. But anyway, if you subtract all of those, you get zero, basically. So that would be another way of writing it, but it should say equals 1923. So the fact is, okay, it is conventional to date 1923 BCE as the 12th dynasty here, which is exactly where we place Joseph, is in the 12th dynasty, and with good reason. But it's 12th dynasty, and yet we calculated it as 4th dynasty in Manetho. Do I have to become an Egyptologist to sort this mess out? Or are we rather spoiled? And do we say instead, not bad, Manetho, you were only out by 8 dynasties. Mr. Libby also mentioned Egyptian chronology difficulties. If you recall, he was the radiocarbon founder, the person who first pioneered radiocarbon dating. A document called the Old Chronicle of Egypt counts up the years. Bottom right of this picture, which we looked at yesterday, over here, counts up the years, right? It gives the old chronicle at the bottom right. Okay. For the total period from the beginning of the Sinic Circle to the end of the rule of the last Egyptian pharaoh, Dynasty 30. I'm trying to think if that's right. Is it Dynasty 30 or 31? It only goes to 30 inclusive. I thought there were 31 dynasties. Yeah, there are 31, according to Africanus and Eusebius. Okay. That's something I'll have to look at now. But the total in the old chronicle only went up to Dynasty 30. That's interesting. So the total was this number, 443, added to 835, added to 178, and 868, and that's 2,324 years. The number given exactly there in that illustration of the Great Pyramid. That was the illustration of the Great Pyramid. It's from the book. It was a plate from this book about the Great Pyramid, showing the geometrical, astronomical, and numerical bases of the fictitious chronologies of the ancient Egyptian king lists. Interesting. Just how fictitious is it if we can get the numbers to add up? This hardly seems likely to be of any value to say that we can calculate from the beginning of the Sinic Circle, which is the heliacal rising of Sothis, at the beginning of the Egyptian kingship to the end of the last pharaoh, 2,324 years, hardly seems likely to be of any value unless we add it to the date of the last pharaoh's end in 343 BCE, which, by the way, is 7 times 7 times 7, 343. Or 7 to the power of 3. 343. To get the date for Thoth, who, as according to Mr. Jackson, is Egypt's first king. A rule of 62 years being added for Menes, given by Africanus. Okay. Now, if, in other words, the date of Thoth is assumed to be the same as the date of the beginning of Menes. In other words, is what that's saying, it looks like. And when we add these numbers, in other words, we can't get back to the beginning of Egypt unless we go back to the very first king and the beginning of his reign. Oh, I see. Wait a minute. Hang on. Let's get the date for Thoth. Yeah, so it seems like there's a discrepancy of 62 years or something, maybe. there's a possibility. You could look at it in that way also. But it's not that big a discrepancy, because we know that's the number of years that Menes is assigned or said to have ruled, according to Africanus, in his version of Manetho. So 343 plus 23, 24 plus 62 equals 2729. We verified that. And that's the beginning of the first Egyptian dynasty. Okay, so wait a minute now. What did that drawing say about those 2324 years? Right. Did it say anything about when they started? Let's see. Well, yeah, it had to do with the beginning of the Sinic cycle, right? Which in our chronology is 2774. So it's not, even with the date we have with 2729, it's not aligned. There still remains a discrepancy, even with that situation. Well, you know, big surprise, we're finding discrepancies in time periods that are thousands of years ago. It would be shocking if we didn't find discrepancies. This is incredible, though, the 2729. The fact we could add 62 and get that number is incredible, as it agrees with the beginning of the Sinic Circle as computed above from Mr. Jackson's estimate of 553 years after the deluge. You know, it agrees within 62 years anyway, right? With the deluge given from our chronology in 3282 BCE. So the genealogy in the Old Chronicle of Egypt thus agree in some miraculous way. I mean, although it is seemingly 62 years different. And also, it doesn't align with the rising of Sothis at the time of the eclipse of Nimrod, right? Okay, but if we went far enough south in Egypt, right, we'd find the rising of Sothis. We said the rising of Sothis is 69 years later at the city of Nekin, right? So at 2774, we just subtract 69 years, and that would be 2705 at the city of Nekin, and that was where Sothis rose on Thoth 1. Or let me think, is that on Thoth 1 that it rose? I'm trying to think, hang on. I'm trying to remember whether that's got to do with the alignment with the Egyptian calendar, I'm thinking. Yeah, because when you go north or south in latitude, it changes what day of the month in the Julian calendar the star rises at dawn. It changes the day. And that, of course, as you go up and down in years, the Egyptian calendar aligns differently with the Julian calendar. So to get them to align, this is what we computed, comparing the arc site with the rising of Sothis in 2774. With the city of Nekin, there was a 69-year difference, right? So 2705 would have been the number, right? So, I mean, that's what it would have been. So we're not wrong by 62 years then, because we don't, well, it's not that big of a difference. So what would be the difference? What's the difference? Well, there's 24 years then, different between 2705 and 2729. 24-year difference. And that subtracted from 62 is 38, is that right? Yeah, something like that. So we're getting closer, in other words. So if we went further south than Neckan, and the calendar had been begun, had started at that more southerly Egyptian city, we could get it to align, because, you know, as we go further south in latitude, the rising of Sothis shifts, you know, according to the Egyptian calendar. But we can't just move the rising of Sothis wherever we want to. I mean, we need to have some evidence for the idea that they did begin the calendar in that place where the rising of Sothis occurred, that we can have some proof, you know, as to where the calendar actually originated geographically would be useful, right? So we're in the ballpark. And the main point is here, we're in remarkably close agreement, right? For something that's thousands of years old. I think that's the main point here. You can see it as exact agreement because, yeah, I mean, the thing is, Thoth ruled after Menes, so we added the 62 because Egypt really began with Thoth, you see? So that's why there's not really any discrepancy here. The 2729 is perfectly aligned using the understanding that there's a bit of confusion here as to when Egypt began, because Menes, if he's Nimrod, then he didn't rule in Egypt. He actually ruled in Shinar. But if Menes is, you know, is Narmer who ruled in the city of Neckan, you know, I mean, then we don't know everything. Maybe he's not Nimrod. Maybe Nimrod moved from Shinar down to Egypt, but we don't have any proof of these things because we have so little evidence of it other than the Narmer palette, which is just one piece of, basically a piece of artwork, almost. That's all we have as far as evidence that I can imagine. I mean, I can't think of any other evidence that we have, but we should be looking for some evidence now, right? Always looking for evidence, but knowing that this is so, I mean, knowing that we have a particular question, if we want to know, is Narmer the same person as Nimrod, then we could look for evidence, more evidence of that, right? But there's so many different things to research. You can't look for evidence of everything all at the same time. And knowing exactly what time period really helps to know where we should look, like what layers of the ground we should dig in. And all of that is very greatly assisted by knowing what time period. Because the layers build up over time, right? So there are a lot of things we could research. That's one aspect of all of this, right? There, the further back we go, the more things there are that we could research. Because the further back we go, the more all the different stories diverge and, you know, separate from each other and become more difficult to unravel, right? Because we're so much further in the future than the original evidence, right? So we have to be able to... That's the whole purpose of why the genealogy was inspired, I think, or why it was important, was because without the chronology, how do you know where to look when you're looking for evidence of an ancient time period or of a person? If you know when that person lived, then you know where to look in time and in the chronology. It greatly assists you if you have some certainty, you know, of where that person lived in time, what the date was of that king or whoever it was. So when you go to look for that evidence, you know what time period it is. So if, for example, if you're looking for pottery from that time period and you can date the pottery to that time period, that helps, right? Anything you can do that's got dates on it then becomes important to identifying which king you're talking about, if you know the date of that king. So the chronology is so important just as a beginning point for study. That's what a lot of people don't quite grasp if they've never done this themselves, is even to begin studying ancient history, the chronology is not the ending of ancient history. It's more true that the chronology is the beginning of the study of ancient history. Because once you have the chronology, which almost seems like a paradox or an oxymoron or something, but once you have the chronology, you can begin investigating the people who lived at these different times. More especially because you know who they are. You know what their names are. So if you know you're looking for a person of a certain name living at a certain time, that's a very big help. Just like with, for example, today when people do ancestral studies, you know, it helps if they know the name of the ancestor, right, that they're looking for. And if they know roughly when that person lived, that helps too, right? These are things that we know about, but as we go further back in history, we're more likely to know more recent things. As we go further back in history, it becomes far more difficult, right? So that's why the chronology becomes critical. And that's what was one of the big reasons for the whole idea of trying to find the true chronology and why so much work was put into this by yours truly. Here's a beautiful, look at this figure of Thoth. Oh, this is great. They even have a figure from the Egyptian. This is so good. From the Egyptian. Oh, wonderful. Egyptian art. The god Thoth. And he was the one in Egypt, in their mythology, the one who invented writing was Thoth. And so that's why he's holding, evidently, this, what appears to be, anyway, a writing implement in his hand. But Thoth was a person who had the head of a particular bird. His head was not a human head in the Egyptian mythology. We haven't even begun to investigate the Egyptian mythology and the symbolism and why these symbols were the way they were in Egyptian mythology. That would be fascinating, but we just haven't had time to do it, no pun intended with the word time. Because of our chronology research, we just haven't had time to do any or very little research in mythology other than the mythology that we linked to the family of the biblical patriarchs, which was in the article called Joseph and On. Particularly, that was the most detailed examination of it that we did, which was the article after the article called Joseph. But I just, that's so beautiful. And then I want to show a little bit and talk a little bit more. I looked at this a little bit more here. It turns out the height of the Great Pyramid, these numbers are in inches. These numbers in this drawing of the Great Pyramid that we looked at yesterday, they're in inches. So the circumference of the Great Pyramid is 36,525 inches at the base. And then at the height of 1,702 and a half inches, that circumference becomes 25,827 inches. And the diameter of these circles, the bigger one, the diameter is 11,626 inches. And therefore, the radius would be half of that, which is the height of the Great Pyramid, as this is shown here. Because when that circumference was drawn to scale on the drawing, look what happened. It showed that the that circle intersects at its center when its lower tangent is just touching the base of the Great Pyramid at the center of the base, with the top of the Great Pyramid at the center of this circle. So this is incredible. That means the radius of the circle, which is one half of 11,626, would just be, I'm going to have trouble, I'll just make this calculator smaller. I think we can do that. It's quite a versatile little calculator. Okay, so let's do that. 11,626 divided by 2. 5,813 divided by 12 inches, right? 484 feet. What did they say that the Great Pyramid was in height? I looked it up. Can't remember now. Oh, okay. Yeah. What's the height of the Great Pyramid? Okay. It's on my search history. Maybe I can find it here quickly. How tall is the Great Pyramid? There it is. Okay. That's a quick way of doing it. Yeah, 481 feet is what it says in Wikipedia right now. That's pretty close. 484, right? That we just got. So that's amazing to show. And there's a few other relations here with the letter, indicated by the letter M and N there. Some kind of ways in which this level, 1,702.5 inches above the base, I'm not sure what the significance of that was either, but the way in which that connects with the larger circle, intersects with it at a certain point, determines a certain angle of 90 degrees here too at the top of the pyramid. It's really something to study. This is something I've not even done anything on since yesterday. I just looked at it today and determined the units were inches by determining the height of the Great Pyramid to confirm that also. So that's all we've done so far on this drawing of the Great Pyramid, but it's remarkable as it appears clearly. Anyway, that's it for today. It's October 25th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1933 hours North American Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and thank you so much for listening and watching. I love you very much, and on my behalf, this is Lib Dusty, and this is Cassie, saying bye for now. We're in the article, the Ark of Urartu. That was Chapter 5, Paragraph 6. Paragraph 5 today. We're beginning Chapter 6 tomorrow, hopefully. So bye for now.